We continue our study of the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark 6. We'll begin by looking at verses 37 and 38. But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. When Jesus hears the fears of his men, he says, "Well, you men feed the men." He's using a direct order. He's giving them a command. You go and feed them. He's saying if they're hungry, give them something to eat. This command is immediately met with an expression of absolute unbelief. From John's gospel, we know that Philip is the one who speaks. He says 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. A penny refers to the denarius, which was a day's wages for the average worker. It would have taken the average worker 8 months to earn the amount of money Philip is talking about. In modern terms, here in the West, it was about $10,000. It was more money than they had or more than they could ever hope to collect on short notice. Philip is saying, "Lord, even if we had $10,000, we couldn't satisfy all these people. We couldn't even give them all a taste. This is impossible. It's impossible." Jesus said, "Feed them." The disciple answered and said, "We can't. We don't have the resources. This is a problem that cannot be solved." These men considered their problem and they summed it up as insurmountable. In their eyes, they were facing an impossible challenge. It didn't matter that they had already seen Jesus turn water into wine, heal lepers, cast out legions of demons, calm violent storms, heal people with incurable diseases, and raise the dead. It didn't matter that he had proven himself to them more times than they could possibly remember. All that mattered at the moment was the obstacle that they saw before their eyes. All that mattered at the moment was the obstacle they saw before their eyes. They looked at the need and they said, "We can't, and we don't believe that you can either." That's a little faith. Does that sound familiar to you? But let's not be too hard on these fellows. We are as bad or worse than they are. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever failed you? Have you ever had a genuine need that he didn't meet? Have you ever seen him fail to keep one promise that he has ever made to you? That's 3 questions. But the fact is, God has never failed us, and he never will fail us. Didn't he save your soul and change your life when you asked him to by faith? Didn't he forgive your sins and replace the turmoil in your soul with his sweet peace just because you simply cried out to him in faith? Hasn't he given you assurance after assurance that you belong to him and that it is well with your soul? And if he can do that, it seems that he can do anything. How much faith did you have when you came for salvation? Did you have great faith on that day? Or was your faith small? Was it small? Was it frail? Was it limited? Was it the smallest faith? Matter of fact, the scripture says you didn't even have any faith at all until he gave it to you. That faith was a gift. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Small faith was sufficient to connect you to a big God who was able to save you. We have a big God. Do you have little faith? Do you have small faith? Well, we have a big God. It doesn't take great faith to get mad, to get big answers from the hand of our Lord. What does the scripture tell us time and time again? Matthew 17:20. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove here to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. The father of the demon-possessed child said, Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. God honors little faith. He's the Lord of little faith. But he can do nothing with unbelief. That was the problem with the Jew in the wilderness in the Old Testament. They simply wouldn't believe God. And how often that is what we do. We don't trust God. James 1:6-7 says this, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. When we act like the disciples and look at the problem instead of the problem solver, we can expect nothing but failure. However, when we believe God, even for the impossible, what is it that you're facing today? What seems so impossible to you? We will see God do incredible things time and time again if we simply believe him. Remember the story of Gideon and his army of 300? God made it a point to whittle down the amount of people that was going to fight with Gideon. So they knew that it was God. And many times God permits the circumstances in our lives. He causes the circumstances in our lives to come that it looks impossible. That you have nothing but God. You can't do anything else but trust God. Look at verses 39-34 in Mark 6. The context of it is, after they display their faithlessness, Jesus asked his men how much food they have. He tells them, go out and find food. We know from John's account that all the food that was available in that vast crowd was the small lunch of a young boy. All he had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the loaves were not big, long loaves of bread. They wasn't big, long loaves of bread. Rather, they were small, round pieces of flatbread, about the same size as a biscuit. The fish was not trophy bass or 700-pound yellowfin tuna. They were the salted fish that the people of that area ate. They were about the size of sardines. When they returned with that small amount, the disciples this time, it is Andrew, expresses even more doubt. He says, what are they among so many? See, they basically despised the little. They doubted the little. What are they among so many? These fellows have sized up the crowd and the provisions, and they have decided that there just isn't enough to go around. Does that sound familiar? I know it does to me. And from a human perspective, they're right. There's not enough to go around. You size up the crowds, you size up the circumstance, you size up the provisions that you have, and you say, it just isn't enough. It's not going to work. It ain't going to happen. Watch the text, though. Jesus doesn't even flinch. He commands the people to sit down in companies. Look at verse 39 of Mark 6. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. He tells them to all sit down in groups. He commands the people to sit down in companies, some translations have. This word literally means in rows like vegetables in the garden. Just line up the people. Jesus says the people sit down in orderly rows. Just a little side note. Our God is a God of order. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He lifts his face towards heaven and he blesses the food. And by the way, Jesus is not upset that the provisions are so meager. He's not bothered by the small amount of bread. What little thing is it that you can bring to him? He took what was given to him and he began to break it. What little thing do you have? Bring it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord and he will break it. He will break it. The words break and gave are very important. They indicate that he kept on breaking and he kept on giving. Jesus took those little biscuits and sardines and they were multiplied in his hands. He just kept on breaking them and giving them to his disciples. And the loaves and the fish kept on multiplying. Jesus exercised his creative power to accomplish this miracle. He's the creator of all things. To feed 5,000 men plus women and children, it would have required them to empty their baskets and to return to Jesus for refills. They had to keep coming back to Jesus. Every time they came back, they probably expected that Jesus had run out of food. But he never did. He never will. He's Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Has he not taken care of you this far? Why do you think that he's going to stop now? He kept breaking and giving until every person in the crowd had no more desire for food. And when the disciples took of the leftovers, there were 12 baskets full, one for every doubting disciple, so to speak. Think that's a coincidence that there's 12 baskets full and there's 12 disciples? All I'm trying to get you to see today is that our Lord is more than enough. He's more than enough. He can take the little that you give him and do miracles with it. That mother who packed that little lunch that day had no idea that it would be used to feed as many as 20,000 people. Jesus just took what was available and multiplied it for his glory. Now you either believe that or you don't. Jesus took what was available and multiplied it for his glory. And whatever that thing is in your life, bring it to him. And he'll multiply it for his glory. When we give what we have to him, he will amaze us with what he can do with it. When this situation arose, the question from Jesus was, how are we going to handle this? How are we going to handle this? You can think as the disciples, let's just get rid of the problem. Let's raise more money. We have a little, but it will never be enough. Let Jesus have it. That's basically it. You have 4 responses to how are you going to handle this. You can be like the disciples in Mark 35 and 36. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him. This is a deserted place and already hours late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages. Send them away. How are you going to handle the thing? Are you going to say, let's get rid of the problem? Or John 6 and 7 tells us this. John 6, verse 7. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Maybe your answer is to the problems, how are we going to handle this? Let's raise more money. First, let's get rid of the problem. If that word don't work, okay, let's raise more money. Maybe John 6, 5 is your answer. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that they may eat? We have a little, but it'll never be enough. Or we can be like John 6, verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. What's it going to be? Let's get rid of the problem. Let's raise more money. We have a little, but it'll never be enough. Or let Jesus have it. If we can ever learn to bring our little to Jesus and let him have it, he can use it in a great way for his glory. Bring your little faith to him. Watch him move mountains. Bring your little testimony to him. Watch him save souls. Bring your little praise to him and watch him get glory. Bring your little abilities to him and watch him use you. He specializes in using the small things to amaze men and to reveal his glory. That is God's M.O. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 through 29. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. You one of the foolish things. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Are you a weak thing? And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Notice. God has chosen the things that are base, that are despised, and the things which are not. The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So that for this purpose, notice that little word there in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 1. That little purpose clause. So that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's why it's all about God and us having faith in him. So that no flesh can glory in his presence. You come to God simply asking. Simply asking and believing. Obviously, if you're asking, you must believe to some degree. And the scripture talks about little faith. The little. Our God is the Lord of the little. The little things. The little cry of the baby Isaac that brought peace to Abraham. The little stick in the hand of Moses to part the Red Sea and deliver his people from Pharaoh. The little boy named David who slung a little stone to remove a big giant. The little piece of bread that was called manna to feed the people of Israel for 40 years. The little mantle that the Lord used to part the Jordan River for Elijah and Elisha. The little widow with the little meal and the little oil to take care of the man of God. He used a little girl named Mary to bring a little baby into the world who would grow up and die on a little obscure hill in a little country in Israel. But in his death, he would provide salvation to all that received him. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power of God to become children of God. Who knows what he will do with your little if you simply place it in his hands? Do you have some little something that you need to bring to Christ today? Bring your little and watch him transform it into a lot. That is his specialty. That is his M.O. That is what he does. Let me just make one thing clear today. Christ could have fed the multitude with nothing. With nothing. He could have made bread and fish to float down from the clouds just as he did with the manna out of the sky. If he had wanted to, he chose what was given to him for his glory. He has privileged us. He has given us the privilege to participate in his glory, to be a part of that glory. He has blessed us. He has used us. See, we so often forget what the Lord has done in our lives. Just look back at your life, all the little things that he's had, that he has taken in your life and used for his glory. The simple fact that he's taken your sins and dying on the cross for them and giving you eternal life and adopted you and united you to him. All the great things that he's done in his life, but just as the disciples in the text, we forget what the Lord did yesterday. And we look at the circumstance and we're like the 10 spies that came back with the bad report. Oh, the Lord is a great land, but there's giants in that land. And we look at our situation just like the disciples look at the thousands of people. And I would have did the same exact thing. How in the world is he going to feed these thousands? And forget all about healing lepers, raising the dead, casting out demons, all the miracles he had done already. When we look at the present circumstance, we always forget. That's why the word remember is so predominant in the Old Testament scriptures. The Jews are reminded over and over and over and over and over and over again. Remember, remember, remember. That's what the name Zechariah means. God remembers. God remembers. But the problem is we don't remember. We don't remember. Some liberal theologians, they looked at this passage and they determined that it just couldn't have happened like the Bible says. After all, it's impossible. One liberal commentator says that it was an optical illusion. It just appeared that the loaves and fishes were multiplied. No. When optical illusions don't feed 20,000 people, though. Another one says that when the people saw the little boy giving his lunch to Jesus, they were all moved with compassion and they gave their lunches too, and there was enough for all with some left over. Why can't people just take the Bible at face value? Jesus Christ is the Lord of the little things, the Lord of the nothing. He took a little and made a lot out of it. He's still doing that. If you have a little situation, you need to bring it to him. If you're lost, you need to be saved. He'll save you if you come to him and simply ask him. If you walked away from him, he'll restore you to a place of fellowship with him. If you'll come and you'll ask him, he can multiply your loaves and fishes if you'll just put them into his hand. He'll use you in ways you never imagined if you only give him your little. The whole point of this miracle was not to feed the multitude. The whole point was to teach those doubting, thick-headed disciples that Jesus was more than sufficient for every circumstance in life. And we are doubting and thick-headed disciples too. And we need to simply trust him for every circumstance in our life that Jesus Christ is more than able, more than sufficient. He's more than sufficient to save. He's more than sufficient to forgive. He's more than sufficient to take your little and to give you a lot in return. Come to him right now. Put your little in his hands. He's the Lord of the little. He's the Lord of the little. Come to him.